Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. I love talking to all of our listeners, so I appreciate you for tuning in today. Today, I've got a very special episode for all of our listeners today. But before we get into it, do me a favor and share this out with your friends. Don't be stingy. The eLaborate Topics podcast has been on now for over three seasons. We've got over 180 episodes in our libraries, and we are listened to in over 100 countries. So thank you to all of our faithful and dedicated listeners, especially the ones that have been with us since 2020 when we started this during the pandemic. We appreciate all of you for listening, and that's why today we have constructed a very timely, important, and significant podcast for you today. Today, I'm joined in the studio with my guest and my friend to the show, Ms. Anna Marie Dietrichson.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today. And I'm excited because Anna Marie is an expert in an area that is so timely and important in our laboratory community right now, and that is health and wellness. And so today we're going to be talking about signs of burnout, stress, and how to combat those things so we can all get back to a normal, or what is close we can get to as a normal work-life balance. And some people say, you know, there is no such thing as work-life balance. You know, I bring myself to work and I bring my work self home, and it's all infused together. But how can I be as healthy in both of those things and everything that I'm doing in life? And so before I get too deep into it, I'm going to pause. Thank you for being here again, Miss Anna Marie. And I'm going to let Anna Marie tell our listeners about herself and her journey and give us a little bit of insight into who she is.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. It is such an honor to be on this podcast. The lab professionals, man, we cannot live without you guys in our hospitals and in our health system. We thank you for all the work that you do. And it's truly a privilege for me to share some of my heart with you. So I am a healthcare executive myself. I am in the trenches with you guys. I don't have a 9-to-3 soccer mom job. I'm in it with you guys. I'm actually a vice president of the patient experience for a large health system. But other than that, I'm also a functional medicine certified health coach, health and leadership coach, and a keynote speaker on the topic of burnout, specifically as it relates to the healthcare industry. I am a keen outdoors woman, and I think just my passion for hiking 14,000 foot peaks with my dogs and my adventures in the outdoors has helped me so much to shape really how I bring myself into this corporate society. So it's just a pleasure to be with you here today.
Thank you so much. And because you're an expert and because you have so much insight to offer us, I definitely just want to jump right on in and start out with talking about the current state of the laboratory medical profession. And more importantly, the current state of healthcare. And as you know, although we are years removed, just coming off of the heels of a pandemic where the laboratory professionals were the forefront of helping us move through that and getting testing going and getting everybody knowing what their COVID status of antigen and antibody and active infections are so that we can continue to move through that and get to some place of normalcy. It really took a really hard hit on an already, I would say, weakened infrastructure in laboratories. So many schools, programs have closed. Not many people go into this profession. The profession is already considered behind the scenes. And like I said, with such a weakened workforce, many individuals either retired or left, and those who stayed in have found themselves teetering with stress and burnout of working extra shifts, working short, trying to meet the demands of a very busy healthcare society with less of a workforce to do it with. And so, like I said, I think this is any topic where we can talk about the health and the wellness of the individual doing the work and making sure that laboratory professionals understand how to get to a state of wellness so they can be the best selves that they can in that work environment only ultimately helps patients and patient care and our overall healthcare system. So the first question I have for you, being an expert in this field, with the increased stress in laboratory and all the attention that needs to be there on wellness at work and preventing burnout, from your perspective and from the research you've done, the clients you've worked it with, what is staff burnout? And there is normal fatigue, normal exhaustion. I had a long week, it's been really busy. Those fluid, things at work are natural, but where is that breaking point, the difference between natural exhaustion at work and I'm truly burnt out?
Yeah, that is a great question. Burnout is a word that we've been kind of just throwing around for a very long time. And it wasn't until 2019 that the World Health Organization finally defined it. And they define it as occupational phenomenon that occurs because of unmanaged chronic workplace stress. And it really is a sliding scale. So I'm glad you brought out of when what is the difference between full burnout and just being tired? Now think to yourself, I love the outdoors. I love to hike a mountain. When I am done hiking a 14,000 plus foot mountain in the Colorado Rockies, I am exhausted. I am tired. I'm ready for bed. But let me tell you, my heart is full. I am so energetic. My spirit is high. So that type of tired is not burnout because you're still engaged. You're still excited about life. You feel a sense of accomplishment. So I believe what the burnout that we're experiencing in the healthcare industry right now is truly exhaustion beyond energy depletion. But it's an exhaustion with no hope, where you're just increasing negative feelings towards your job, towards your coworkers. You just don't feel like professionally what you're doing is making a difference. And that is truly where that downward spiral starts. But I do want to say, as we talk about this, in healthcare, we are so often we're programmed to have it all together and everything is fine on the outside. And you have to have the smile on your face and this executive presence if you want to be promoted or anything like that. And then all this turmoil is happening on the inside. And so often we don't even want to admit that we're on that scale of burnout, where it's somewhere in between from fully charged to complete exhaustion and full burnout. And you might not be on the full burnout where you cannot get yourself out of bed in the morning, but you might be on your way there. So take this serious and don't wait until you have to go into the ER because you just cannot function anymore.
I love that you said that it is an unmanaged workplace stress that it's beyond with no hope. And so when you think about that, many times team leaders may not be able to properly identify this in their teams because they are themselves experiencing this. Many times I know even for myself, my team members will come to me with certain things and I'll say, you make light of it, but you say, join the team or join get in line, like we're all going through these things. But obviously, like you said, if it's that unmanaged, then it is something that we should obviously pay attention to. From your perspective, knowing these definitions, knowing all of this, why is it important to be aware of these signs in your team? And if you do ignore them, what does that potential impact look like?
Yeah, great point. I think it's important as well to point out where you said everybody in the healthcare industry are at risk for burnout. And so often, us as leaders are leading teams who are on the brink of burnout. And I just want to reiterate the importance of you as a leader, if you're in a leadership role, whether it's an influential leadership role, but you might not have the badge, but people are looking up to you, or if you actually are in an authority figure in your system. you need to take personal responsibility, because so often we wait for the organization to do something for us. Get a wellness lounge, and we can talk about the wellness lounge in a minute because I have some thoughts on that. Or, the company needs to have this program or that program for us. And yet, I believe that addressing burnout is both a personal responsibility and a corporate responsibility. Your question, sorry, on how do you really address, how do you see that in yourself before you can help your team? If you are irritable beyond your normal personality, that should be a warning sign. Or if you just don't have any passion for coming to work anymore, you lost that calling. So many of us in the healthcare industry, this is not just a job. This is a true calling. Why would we otherwise stay in it, for crying out loud, with the stresses that we have? And so, really making sure that you still have dreams outside of your job is so important. But if you don't address it, the statistics are staggering. The American Hospital Association a year ago said that it is predicted that in the next 5 years, so we're coming up on that, there will be a shortage of 3 million essential healthcare workers, right? 91% of employees say that unmanaged stress and frustration in the workplace negatively impact their quality of work. So imagine you've just started out our conversation with staffing challenges. Now imagine 91% are not able to give their all. We have to address this, right? I mean, we can just go on and on. This is costing the US economy $190 billion just on their healthcare costs. Isn't that frightening?
That is, well, that's one frightening, right? As a person who works in healthcare, but also a person who has young children and receives healthcare. And I want to dive into something that you mentioned because it's something that myself and my co-hosts talk about a lot when we talk about mentoring and we talk about the need for whether you're a leader or informal leader or not, official with a title or not, the need for consistent self-awareness and for you continuously to know yourself, for you to understand how you show up to the workplace and how you're showing up in the world, and for you to understand that everybody's emotions and energy is contagious. And so whether you're putting out confidence or whether you're putting out stress, that you are managing the emotions within yourself, and nobody can do that. And there's not enough pizza parties in the world to fix that. And so, if you could, or if you would, dive into that a little bit more, where you said, it's not just about the organization, it's about you yourself understanding this for yourself. Because one of the things we love to do on this podcast is wherever we can give our listeners actionable items that they can walk away from. And I'd love for us to touch on that a little bit more before we move on.
Absolutely. I love that you brought that up because even in my keynotes, when I speak to leadership groups in the healthcare, we always walk away with something you can do right now to change this. So I'm going to share with you how I work with my clients. I take them through a 12-week process, and it's critical that we address mindset. Because if you keep being stuck in the story you're telling yourself of we're understaffed, we're overworked, everybody's exhausted, I don't have time, all these negative things, even though some of it might be reality, you are spinning your wheels and you're spending energy on things that absolutely do not matter and will not get you results, right? And so we start working on mindset first of all. And I'll share you my steps on how to just immediately change some of the way you think in just a minute, but I want to just give you the big picture. So we work on mindset, then we work on boundaries. Boundaries are critical. And oftentimes, it is not the organization that needs to set a better boundary. It's you need to set a better boundary. Because sometimes we think, well, my workload is unmanageable and that's my organization's fault. But where is it that you allow that creep in your boundaries where you are willing to work for an extra 3 hours on a Friday afternoon when you're exempt? When really you don't have to, someone else could maybe do it, or you could just say, sorry, my boss, but this is not as important as you might think it is. Now, much nicer than that. But boundaries is critical. I think too, we often, especially as women, I'm sure you have a lot of male listeners as well, but so often women go to work and we work and we put in a full shift. We give our everything at work and then we get home and we put in a second shift because now we have to do the dishes. Now we have to cook the meals. Now we have to take care of the children and the husband and the family and the cousins and everybody else. Where is those boundaries where you can truly work with a partner and say, look, we're in this together. What duties can you take off my shoulders? And I work with my clients around that so that they could have some more rest at home in that personal sense too. Then healthy habits. The reason stress is out of control is because your cortisol is in overdrive. And that is not a natural state to be in. Your cortisol is supposed to wax and wane and flex. Now cortisol gets such a bad rap. And it's not cortisol's fault. You know, you're a clinician. We need cortisol to wake up in the morning. We need cortisol to literally save our lives when it's necessary. But the problem is when we're in this chronic elevated stress, that cortisol never goes down. So how can you do healthy habits with sleep? Number one, optimize your sleep and get a good 7 to 9 hours sleep per night. I know some of you are falling off your chairs right now, but that is what you need to function optimally. Nutrition. It's amazing to me how much stress we put on our bodies by eating junk food. And you don't need more stress. Your body doesn't know the stress that comes from eating food that's not good for you versus stress of the presentations due versus stress from I have to run away from a saber-toothed tiger. Your body responds the same. So I think it's very critical, especially in stressful situations, to double down on healthy nutrition. And then movement. I don't like to call it exercise because some of us have real bad experience with exercise, but how can you move your body to metabolize some of those hormones and to get some of those real good calming hormones going in your body? So that is critical. That's what I work with my clients through, and we have a lot of success with it. But you asked me to give you tangible takeaways. Are you ready? Is that okay if I give you into it? Okay, good.
These are not tangible. Oh my gosh, I'm already writing notes because I am that mom who feels like it's not that I don't, and I have an amazing partner and I have an amazing husband, but I think for so many women, you just feel programmed like this is what I have to do. Yes. And I think one of the things that you probably work with these clients too, overachievers. And so
absolutely.
People who are high performers, high achievers, I can't just high achieve in my professional life. That spills over to, I have to be the best, you know, Girl Scout, soccer mom, cheerleading mom, cookie mom. And I have to do all of these things because that is just within me to be a high achiever. But where are those boundaries? I love when you said that, but keep going. My goodness, I'm right.
Absolutely. And you know, we put it on ourselves, right? Society, your husband don't tell you have to be the best soccer mom and the best friend and the best, all that. We put it on ourselves. And so how can we help our own mindset? So here's how you become the boss of your brain. Okay. Because if you can manage your mind, you can do anything. So, okay, step one, notice what you're thinking. It's that simple. So often, Stephanie, we just like the train left the station and there we go, spiraling down negative thoughts and we don't even realize it. And we start to fall into that trap of victim mentality. Oh, my job is so much harder. I know everybody have 24 hours in their day, but that true soccer mom over there has so much more time on her hands. And how come I, you know, and you get stuck in that victim mentality. So first of all, recognize what you are thinking. It starts with a thought. That thought creates an emotion. You cannot have an emotion unless you thought about something. Okay. The next thing, that emotion is going to make you do something. It's going to make you either become angry, slam the doors, yell at your husband, or drink a healthy smoothie, depending on that emotion that you feel based on the thought. And then that action will ultimately lead to a result. Now, think about it. Let's take a very simple example. We don't get to work from home like some other industries do. So take this example of you are getting ready for work and you're in the car and your kids had a tantrum and now you're late for work and you're stuck in traffic. What is your thought? The circumstance is you're stuck in traffic. It is what it is. Whether you put a negative or a positive thought to it is 100% up to you. So let's say you think, oh my gosh, I'm stuck in traffic. This is terrible. People are driving around like maniacs. I'm going to be late for work. This is ridiculous. Why can't my kids just take care of themselves? Why can't my husband help me? All those thoughts. Stephanie, I'm going to ask you to answer this. How does that make you feel when you have all those thoughts?
I can just feel the anxiety rising over me. Like I'm going to be late, or, you know, people are going to be looking for me. I'm going to miss so many things. I'm going to put myself behind. I'm going to have to stay late. I can't stay late because I was going to try to work out. Well, I guess I won't work out. Then I'll, you know, won't be able to work off the Popeyes that I ate yesterday. I don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. So you just spiral into negative thinking, and that makes you feel miserable, frustrated, disappointed, anxious. What do? You clench that steering wheel and you start to honk the horn and you're just mad at everybody. Your shoulders tense up. How are you going to show up at your first meeting? What is the result going to be?
I'm definitely not going to be focused.
Exactly.
I'm not going to be my best self because I'm not going to be focused. I'm going to be really distracted by the morning that I had.
Exactly. So how can you turn that around? It's that simple. When you get that thought of I'm stuck in traffic, how can you say no to the negative thoughts? How about you say, I'm stuck in traffic and I absolutely love my children and I'm so glad I could be there to work them through the tantrum. My team will be fine waiting for me for 10 minutes. Nobody's life depends on it. We're going to be fine. How does that feel?
That feels much better, but why is that so much harder? Why is reprogramming your mind so much harder the older you get? Because I'd imagine this would be such an easy thing for my fifth grader to do. But the older you get, it's almost like I can so easily go down a rabbit hole of 10 bad things that will happen if I'm five minutes late to work.
Exactly. I mean, we can go into a whole neuroscience discussion here, but I'll make it short and simple. Your brain wants to keep you safe. So if you're late for work, your brain wants to think of anything to tell you to turn the car around and not even go to work. Okay? It takes rewiring your neuro connections to train yourself to do this different. And I'm telling you, it can be done. But if you have had years, if you have had a lifetime of letting your mind jump on a train and leave the station without you as conductor in charge, it's going to take some time to rewire it. And that's why I suggest start with simple things. Like one of my clients had for a long time struggled with guilt as a mom not being there for her children because she's a leader in healthcare. And we started working with her mind and working with her mind. And she started building her confidence and say, no, I am a good mom. This is my evidence why. And she told me the other day, her daughter, her 10-year-old daughter said, what's daddy's phone number? I want to ask daddy if he can come to my school workshop with me. And she caught that thought. Initially, she was going to think, oh my gosh, I'm not a good mom. She wants her dad to go with her. But she switched it around and she immediately said to herself, isn't this amazing? I have built healthy boundaries and I've included my husband in raising the kids to the point that my daughter now has such a great relationship with my husband that she wants him to be a part of it. Completely different outcome. So it can happen.
And I'd imagine if you're working with healthcare leaders, you have seen firsthand how some of these examples can translate into success stories for patient outcomes. I mean, I'm just thinking of, you know, when things go wrong, when the tube system goes down, or when a doctor calls and yells at you, or when you're not able to, when somebody calls in for a shift and you're not able to get that covered, you know, how your team can change these thoughts in their mind to refocus and renew themselves back on the team and all kind of get back in the same goal towards patient care. And so can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. Like I'll just use your example of the tube system. If the tube system goes out and everybody's mad at lab, because obviously it's your fault, right? We got to blame somebody.
Yeah.
And if your whole team is now going to spiral into anxiety,
Mm-hmm.
what is the number one enemy of productivity? Stress.
Yes, stress.
So stress makes you not be productive. So now you have to fire on all cylinders in this crisis situation, but you've already spiraled out of control. So now you're even less likely to be able to have a good outcome. So imagine you as a leader can be so focused on this is the circumstance, can't do anything about it, tube systems down. What can we think about it so we can have the outcome that we want and not the outcome that actually we don't want when we spiral into anxiety? And just step by step, you take that. It's critical that you can use this for every single situation on what if emergency protocol go into place and we can't use our medical record and we have to go back to paper. Are we going to spin out into a frantic or are we going to say, we've done this so many years, we can do it again. Come on, team, join the adventure. And we're going to hustle, we're going to work hard, but it's going to be fun and it's going to be productive and it's going to be engaging.
You touched on it a little bit about, your work with your clients, in your company, Anna Marie Health and Leadership Coach. How did that come about? Where did you obviously have the passion, but how did you turn that idea and that passion and you looking at healthcare holistically and from a bird's eye view and saying there's a problem here and I can help fix it? Where did that come from?
Absolutely. So for myself, I have actually only been in the healthcare industry for 10 years. I have done a bunch of nonprofit work, started a nonprofit in Hawaii working with people with disabilities, did community development and humanitarian work all over the world in the slums of Thailand, villages of Africa, Philippines, you name it. And so when at 35-ish years, now you know how old I am, sorry, people. I thought I would be immune to burnout because I've seen so much suffering across the world and I've had to live in very difficult circumstances. And yet, when I started to climb the so-called ladder in the healthcare industry, and I moved up really fast, kind of like not your conventional way to move up in the healthcare industry, but I was blessed to have incredible people who poured into me. And even yet, I noticed in myself, when that cortisol started to get out of control, I started picking up weight. I started to get gray overnight. I had bags under my eyes. I yelled at my husband, and he's the most amazing person in the whole world. My team was like, "What the heck happened to you? You used to be nice." Right? And so I realized this was probably 9 years ago, 8 years ago. I realized I got to do something. And I started doing these things that I just shared with you. I doubled down on myself. Now, I went through a lot of trial and error. And my clients don't have to go through that trial and error because I've already done it and I have a system that I know works. But it really came to a tipping point for me to turn this from just something I do for myself to something I help other people with in 2020, where we had this unprecedented situation happen. And then COVID went away for the rest of the world, but we just had it worse because then we sat with all the repercussions of COVID. And really, 2021, two, and three has been so much worse than 2020. But in 2020, I saw the great resignation and people just drop like flies. And I knew I had to do something because I'm one of those people, if you see a need, it's probably because you're called to fix it. And so I got certified as a functional medicine health coach and I started my business. And I started offering this to leaders in the healthcare industry because that's truly my passion. To help the sustainability of this whole industry, and that we can do something about this 300 million, what, 3 million essential worker shortage, and be the best leaders we can be so our teams can be the best they can be.
I love that response. And you, like I said, you can just feel that the passion and that you know what you're talking about, that you've lived it and that you've helped people come through it. And I want to ask you, not just for me as a healthcare leader, but from the people that you have worked with, and I'm sure you've worked with people who run the gamut in the spectrum from nursing to, maybe this different disciplines and ancillary. But we all at the root of it have the same issues. Staffing, budget, middle management is so hard because you've got, your senior leaders above you and your staff that report to you underneath you, and you are literally in the middle trying to make both sides happy. From your perspective and just doing a summary of all of the people that you've worked with, What is one thing leaders should stop doing right now, and one thing that leaders should start doing right now?
Number one, stop the victim mentality. I know this is hard. This is harder than it's ever been. But if you stay stuck as a victim, it will only get worse. Mm-hmm. And if that's what you want, then go for it, because you might as well quit your job right now. But stop the victim mentality. And it's sneaky. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, it is not as obvious. It comes in sneaky. I see it in myself. And I mean, you told me I'm the expert in this, but sometimes I see it in myself where I'm like, last night I just wanted to go home, sit on the couch, eat chocolate, and drink wine. Right? Because I'm like, oh my gosh, it was such a hard day. But catch yourself, because that is not going to get you the outcome you want. So start being intentional with achieving your goals. It's all about intentionality. Be vigilant and intentional to not let other people rule your life, but you take charge and you build the life you want, starting with your health.
That is awesome advice. But when you have to have goals, right? So for everybody
exactly.
out there, the first step, start developing goals. It's these burnout, stress, all of these things get so much better and so much easier when you create a vision for your future
exactly.
self. And when you think
exactly.
about, when I think about the times that I've been the most energized, the most excited about my life, it's because I was working towards something. It's because I had a certification that I was working towards, or I was about to graduate with one of my master's degrees. I had a vision for my future self and I was working towards it. So if you're looking for a way to get excited and kind of get out of that spiral, create some goals and start working towards them. And like Anna Marie said, be intentional about that. With all of this, you know, I kind of alluded to it earlier, you know, there's work-life balance, and then there's so much literature that talks about now there is no such thing as work-life balance. So what's your take on that? What is the definition of work-life balance, or is it just about being well-rounded? In particular, when it comes to being a leader and a leader in healthcare, what is the difference between the two? Are they the same or not? What's
your
thoughts?
You're so right on. I think work-life balance, I mean, what is that even? And then more recently, people have started to talk about work-life blend. But to me, that just sounds like even more pressure on your shoulders. Now you have blend the two. Good grief, right? So I think it comes down to, what is your vision?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want out of life? And is what you do every day getting you there?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're at work, whether you're in bed sleeping, whether you're spending time with your children, do you not feel guilty in any of these spaces? I would say then you're well-rounded. If you can be at work and not feel guilty about not being a good mom, like all the other moms that can be there to bring cupcakes to the birthday party, and here you are taking care of life and death situations in the healthcare industry, right? And do you have energy? Or does that, remember I told you when I hike a mountain, I'm exhausted, but I'm not exhausted. I'm so energized and passionate about what I just did.
Which is crazy.
That feeling, that feeling of, yes, I just put a very hard day's work in, but I know it was purposeful. I know I changed lives. I know this is me walking in my calling. And if you can feel like that, then you've got it. So forget about the balance thing. There is no balance in life. Everything you do, you have to give up something else. And you just need to decide, what do you want to give up?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to give up certain things? Then have peace with that and sit in that passion.
Yeah, I mean, I think there will be times in your lives, right, where you give a little bit more in your personal life. And there will be times where I have to, whatever, to come up with a project or to graduate with my degree, I have to give more in my professional life and my career. But like you said, as long as you can sit peacefully in those decisions at the end of the day, and you feel like you're not giving up too much on either side. I saw a really great quote on some social media outlet the other day that said, the only people in your life that will remember those weekend texts and those weekend emails and those late night work calls are your children.
Yes.
So, which means that your boss and your staff are not going to remember those emails that you sent at 11 p.m., but your kids will, because you weren't, spending that time with them. You kind of alluded to it earlier in this episode about wellness rooms and things like that. But for leaders, what are some helpful initiatives that you could implement with your team to promote wellness, within your and create that supportive culture?
Absolutely. So I think what I was kind of joking about the wellness lounges is in 2020, I saw them pop up everywhere. Like everybody all of a sudden had a wellness lounge. And I'm thinking to myself, they're understaffed. How are they going to have time to go down to the wellness lounge? And guess what? For most, not all, and I know it was well-intentioned, but they're not being used. Those gyms that were opened up are not being used because when we're done with work, we want to be done with work. And you don't want to take 10 minutes to go sit in a massage chair when you know your coworker is going to have to hustle twice as much to make space for you to go to the wellness lounge. So there's got to be something else. So here's my take on it. We have to align incentives to promote wellness and health in the workplace. What I mean by that is if you are a leader, an executive leader of mid-management, do not reward people for sending emails on the weekends. So, for example, I have heard senior leaders commend leaders who are working from home when they're dead sick with COVID. Oh, her work ethic is impeccable. She's even on her computer when she's home with COVID. I'm like, don't incentivize that. Don't make that be the standard. Celebrate when people are going on PTO and vacation because more than 50% of us don't take our time off because we think that either we're not going to be up for the promotion, they're going to figure out that they don't need us, our team is going to be left without us, all these guilt trips we put on ourselves. And so, how can you as a leader tell your staff, I want you to go on vacation and we've got this, versus putting you on a guilt trip for taking PTO?
Well, I would
Right?
say first, one of the things that we have to do, and this is a hard thing to do in the laboratory, is you've got to set up the succession plan so you feel comfortable. So many people in the laboratory, and it's pervasive, feel that it's job security for me
Exactly.
not to share my role with anyone. So, but then you set yourself up. It's a double-edged sword, probably not the, the most, polite metaphor to use in that instance, but yeah, you have job security, but you also have to now be at work all the time. Rather than sharing that knowledge, helping others grow, creating that succession plan. So when you leave, you can feel comfortable, but then others can feel confident that you've delegated work to them and they can confidently go forth and do that work, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And with that too, what can you do in the workplace is teamwork. Really build a resilient team that are there to have each other's backs. Exactly what you just talked about. And being honest with the team about the struggles so that if somebody is truly a little bit further down on that sliding scale from fully charged to burned out, that the rest of the team can help pick up the slack because they know someone will help them again later.
That's good. That's really good. So when you think about all the challenges that we have in healthcare and the ones that we've talked about, particularly in the laboratory, and if there is a listener out there listening right now that says, you know what, this is good stuff, but this just isn't how my laboratory operates. It's not how my organization operates. These are not the types of initiatives that we are, it's about the bottom line, it's about the productivity, all of these things. And I want to not be a victim, but how can I advocate for myself at work? What would you say to them?
Exactly. My first thought was number one, get out of the victim mentality. And number two, really, why did you take this as an amazing opportunity for you to be the spearhead and the catalyst for change? Why don't you model healthy boundaries? You know, we're so afraid to say no because we think then people are going to think we're lazy or we don't want to be a team player, etc. But if you do it out of the right intentions and a pure place in your heart, people will respect you for it. So if this is your situation and you just cannot see any way out, why don't you be the start and take this as an amazing opportunity and advocate that you can bring your whole self to work. I know DE&I is such a hot topic nowadays, and I think so many of us feel burned out because we cannot fully be ourselves at work, right? I'm thinking about me as a originally a South African. By the way, yesterday I celebrated my 1 year of being a USA citizen. So I'm very excited. Thank you. Thank you. But of course, my cultural wiring is South African. And those of you that have South Africans working alongside you in the lab, you know that we kind of like say it like it is. We don't sugarcoat things and we just say it and move on because that's just the way we do it. But I have felt for so many years, I have to sugarcoat everything I say. Otherwise, people are going to have their feelings hurt. And so how can you advocate for your whole team to bring their whole self to work? Because if you can truly be in, how can I say, in resonating with who you truly are, then you're going to be able to navigate that burnout even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked to so many people on this show and been blessed to have so many amazing guests. But one of the things that has been really pivotal is that burnout accelerates when I have to wear a facade. You
yes.
know, I'm at work almost more than I am at home. And if I'm not able to be myself at work, then, you know, I spend over half of my day, over half of my week, over half of my life pretending. That weighs even more on you than the continued work and stress and burnout from that already comes from the job. So you're right. You know, when I can bring my original self to work and people value who I am and value my contributions just as I am, no matter who I am or what that person is, then I feel more comfortable. The team feels more comfortable. They get more out of me. We get more productivity. Ultimately, we're all in healthcare, so the patient benefits.
Absolutely.
This has been great. I want to ask you, you know, you seem to, like you said, you got your certification early on, and you obviously know so much about this topic, growth being intentional. You know, what do you do for your own personal and professional growth, particularly around this topic?
Absolutely. So number one, I have a coach. Just because I'm a health and leadership coach doesn't mean I don't need coaching myself. So I highly recommend for everybody to have some kind of coach, mentor, someone that can really pour into you and help you see your own blind sides. That truly is what helps for me. And I am not very good at reading like letters on a page. That puts me to sleep. So I listen. I listen so much to books, to podcasts, to educational material, articles, all those things to make sure my brain stays on top of it. And oftentimes when you can choose to read things that are reality that might be very depressing in the moment, but you can also choose to read things of people who are innovative and are seeing it completely different that can inspire you and help you grow. And then thirdly, I would say I put myself in rooms with people who support me and are way smarter than I am. So that could be in a webinar, in a coaching cohort, in a small group, wherever that is, where I don't have to be the expert. I sit at their feet and learn. That's what I do.
And when we, like I said before in this podcast, we love to give our guests advice that they could walk away from. And I know that you've got at least 2 to 3 confident things you can tell our listeners about how to achieve their goals, how to show up as their best selves at their jobs. So is there 2 to 3 things, maybe some of the podcasts or books that you enjoy that you can leave our guests with to help them, you know, go out and achieve more on and off of the bench and inside and outside of the laboratory?
I would say number one, stay motivated and inspired. Like influencers, I would highly recommend follow them wherever you want to follow them because they're everywhere. Mel Robbins and Simon Sinek, two people that I follow that I get so much out of.
Oh, I love Mel.
Yeah, totally.
The 5-second rule.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. That 5-second rule gets me out of bed in the mornings. When it comes to reading, two books I would highly recommend. One is Impact Players from Liz Wiseman. We recently did that as a book study in our whole division in my health system here. Very good practical ways to stay out of victim mentality and bring impact to the work, which is also going to help you move further away from burnout. And then up-and-coming author Ovelle Barbie, that I met at a conference, he is just a phenomenal human being. And his book, The Big House, really, I would recommend buy that book to give to your supervisor as a Christmas gift, because it talks about DE&I from a completely fresh perspective. Oh. Like, being a white female executive leader, just to be honest with you, over the last few years, it's been hard to not feel guilty about all the things we do wrong. And reading Ovelle's book inspired me and gave me tools on how we can do this better without the guilt trip. So I just think he's fantastic. And then for you guys in the lab, listen to The Doctor's Pharmacy by Mark Hyman. It's clinical, it's functional medicine, it is a completely different way. You know, we all work in healthcare, but really we work in sick care. And he is all about creating health. So I'd say that could be something fun for you to just listen to on your drive to work to get a fresh perspective of what healthcare can look like.
I'm definitely going to tap into some of these resources. So thank you. And for our listeners who are listening and want to get more connected with you and reach out to you, understand, maybe perhaps become one of your clients and get more education from you, how can our listeners stay connected with you after they listen to this podcast?
Absolutely. Follow me on LinkedIn. That I'd say number one, Anna Marie Dietrichsen. My name has no E's in it. It's A-N-N-A-M-A-R-I, one word. And my last name, the word diet, the word rich, and the word sun, Dietrichsen. So that's how you can find me on LinkedIn. And then you feel free to email me, annamariecoaching@gmail.com. So annamariecoaching@gmail.com. And I am soon to launch my website, which will be annamariecoaching.com.
Thank you so much for coming and being on the show today. I think for myself, I've wrote a ton of notes, and I'm sure our listeners will want to go back and re-listen to this a couple of different times. I do want to ask you, and I ask many people this, and this is actually how you and I connected through a colleague that we have similarly that I interviewed twice for this show, Mindy Spiegel. One of the questions that I often ask our guests is, if you could have anybody on this show, who would it be? But it's hard homework because you have to help me get the person on this show. So
The answer is easy. I would say ask Ovelle. And you can bring all your DE&I questions to Ovelle. He is phenomenal. His company's actually called Ask Ovelle. He is a long-term HR executive that has a lot of insights on the whole HR side of things. Mm-hmm. So I'd say reach out to Ovelle, and if we can't get you to have him on the podcast, I have a whole list of friends in the coaching industry that will be love to join you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for coming on the show today. This has been amazing. I appreciate all of your insights.
Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate your time.
And thank you for all of our listeners for tuning in today to the Elaborate Topics podcast. I hope that everybody got so many gems and so many pearls out of the amazing information from Ms. Anna Marie. Certainly reach out to her and connect with her coaching company. We all, like she said, every mentor needs a mentor and every coach needs a coach. And so everybody needs someone in their life that will continue to push them and continue to help them see where their blind spots and tendencies are. And so I certainly appreciate all of the information she's given to our listeners today. I hope that you all enjoyed it. And until next week, I hope that you all stay well and stay safe. And thank you for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.